Father, will you come and add to what you have already laid down, Father, through what you've laid on Brett's heart for us as a congregation. Right now, we believe we are one people, one heart, one mind, one spirit. Father, will you come and lay down your word right now in Jesus' mighty name. We sit here with open hands, open hearts. You are most beautiful, Jesus. And your word, Father, is like that orchid, beautifully and perfectly created for its purpose. So can the word, Father, come find its purpose in our hearts, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Ooh, I'm melting. melting. Is this your Bible, dude? Is this your Bible? You might need that. And it's so lucky to see everyone. Welcome. Amazing. It's hot, but we can do it. I believe we can do it today. Cooler than Nullsprite, yeah. And very other places. Oh, hell. Cooler than hell. Did not see that coming. Wow, hardcore. You went straight there, bro. We're trying to warm people up to that. You know what I'm saying? We're warm. Yeah, you see what it did? Yeah, anyways, dad jokes for days. No, it is lovely to have you guys with us. Really, just amazing. We do believe that God is wanting to speak this evening. And he already has. He's already doing stuff. But the one thing I'm very aware of is this, that if the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything, nothing's going to happen. So I'm a little bit petrified today because I can't do stuff. You can't do stuff. Only he can do the stuff that he wants to do. And so can we just pray one more time? Because I really just feel like it has to be the Holy Spirit doing things to be able to do what we feel that the word wants to say to us tonight. And so, Father, even as we are here, and if you open to the Holy Spirit, can you maybe raise your hands or open your hearts or just position yourself for him to do what he wants to do? Holy Spirit, we want to ask that you will come from the youngest here to the oldest, from those who are close to you and those who are far from you, might not even know you tonight. Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would do an amazing work of opening our eyes and opening our hearts and opening our understanding and our minds and even our bodies to give that back to you tonight. That as the word comes, that it won't be Brett speaking, it'll be you speaking through a mere guy that loves you. That your word that is living and active and useful for teaching and correcting and building up in righteousness, that your word that transforms will just transform our hearts and our minds tonight. That we'll move out of this place and leave this place not the same as what we came in. So Holy Spirit, please come and do what you want to do this evening. We need you so much. I need you so much. Amazing. And so, I want to speak on this tonight. I want to speak on revival from being spiritually insane. That's my title. So revival from spiritual insanity. Okay, so I'm going to work. Yeah, let's bring it. And so when people say the word revival, or a lot of people think it's like these crazy things happening and miracles and all of those things can come out of revival. But revival basically means a spiritual reawakening. That's all it means. It's when people realize that God is who we just sung him to be, that he is the savior of the world, that we are all going to a lost eternity without him. We're all just dead to sin. And he comes and he reawakens our spirits and our minds and our hearts. And something shifts, boom, and we love him more. And we're more passionate about him. And we want to tell people about him. And our worship is unabandoned. And it's just, we go crazy. And it's just, we can't stop, come on. That's reawakening. That's revival. That's what God wants to do in every single one of our hearts tonight. At least to start that for 2026. What's insanity? Well, Albert Einstein said this about insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. It's a good thing. So if you think about it, like you're trying to do something and you keep on doing it, but you're like, why isn't this happening? Why isn't it changing? So spiritually, sanity is doing the same thing. You're trying to build a relationship with Jesus, but you're doing the same thing. You're in, you're out, day in, day out. And you're thinking, God, why are you failing me? Pastor, why? My pastor suck. My home group leader suck. No. What's happened is you become spiritually insane because you think that by doing the same thing over and over and over again, something miraculous is going to happen. That's not how the world works. That's not how Jesus works. And so this past holiday, I went 4x4ing and I thoroughly enjoyed myself until we got stuck. Because we're trying to pull a guy out of a very steep incline. And I was like, my car was on there, my handbrake is a bit iffy. It wasn't actually working. And I get stuck down. My tires, and I'm bottomed out. And I'm like, oh, that's called a rut. I was stuck in a rut, a deep sand rut. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Spiritual insanity is the ruts of our lives. We just do the same thing, do the same thing, do the same thing, and we expect a different result. And we bog down, and then we get frustrated, and we even fall away from Christ sometimes, or we fall away from our leaders, and we just get disheartened. Is that just happened to me, or is it just, is there other people that are like, I'm trying to not show my armpits because I'm sweating profusely. Is there anyone that feels like that? Sometimes you get stuck in this rut. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Two people, three people. Okay. And we want to break that tonight. I feel like God wants to break that tonight. A rut is a long, deep track made by repetitive passages of a wheel from a vehicle. And it almost becomes impossible eventually. If you keep on driving over the same sand over and over and over again, keep on doing the same things, it becomes impossible. Another definition for a rut is a habit or pattern of behavior that becomes dull, unproductive, and is hard to change. So don't put your hand up because this might be embarrassing, but who finds their quiet times boring? Then you know you're in a rut. Okay, well, I said don't put your hand up. But you did. Honesty is the best policy. Or your prayer life is sucking. You're like, God, you're probably in a rut. Or if the worship is too loud, or that, you're probably in a rut. You've built up these patterns in your life that are actually robbing you of the joy. God is awesome. He is the author of everything. How can he be boring? His word is living and active. How can it be unproductive? His spirit is alive. Man, his spirit is alive, and he's wanting to communicate with us and use us and loving us. How can that? It's because we're in a rut. Spiritually, we become insane. Andrew used to say this a lot back in the day. He used to say, what got you this far won't necessarily take you further. Think about it. What your relationship with Jesus right now, things have got you here. But those things might not take you any further than you are right now. And then you're going to rut it down. Anyways, I'm on the 4x4, and now I'm panicking because we've got one vehicle stuck. Now I'm stuck. We don't really have the right recovery gear. And so I remember watching a YouTube video where they counterlocked the steering wheel by full force of power, low range. And so I'm thinking, the last resort is counterlock, counterlock, counterlock. Foot in the shame. I forgot to tell my friend I was going to pull over. He just got a sand mouth to sand. He had sand for days. But you know what happened? Counterlock. Counterlock. I'm moving. Counterlock. 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 Eventually, I'm up, and everyone's like, I'm like, how did that happen? And so this evening, I feel like that's what the Lord wants to do for some of us. He's going to change something in you. You're going to counterlock to what you've been doing. And it's scary. My heart was pounding. I was like, I don't know if we're going to get out of this. I've never done this before. It's my first time. I'm a rookie. And then it worked. And I'm like, man, God wants to take you from where you are now. And he wants you to fall in love with him again. More passion. More love. More excitement. More longing. More hope. More grace. More mercy. Man, He wants to change you from what you are now to something more miraculous and glorifying to him. Amen. Someone say amen. We're Pentecostals, I think, or at least charismatics. Thank you. That was very Pentecostal. I like that. The way we get out of being spiritually insane is this. God loves to do new things. And we need to become convicted about that. So I've got three C's. The first is conviction, the second is calling, and the third is courage. That's pretty much my preach. So the first thing is this. Are you convicted that God wants to do something new in you this year? Okay, so one person said yes. Are you convicted with all your, like, conviction is I believe with nothing's going to move me from that. That's conviction. When I got saved in 1985 as a five-year-old boy watching a TV program called Magnum PR, for those who remember that, conviction came in me. It has never left. To get out of a rut, you need to be convicted that God is a God of new things. He wants to build new creations. His mercies are new every day. Okay, like, I'm seeing heads moving. Like, we're starting to get there. Without conviction, we have nothing. What's going to happen is, if you just wishy-washy, iffy, I'm in this, I'm not in this, what's going to happen is you're going to rut yourself out. I had to be convicted on that pedal. I had to put full gears, sand everywhere, tires going everywhere. The poor animals are running. Everyone was running. I got out of that thing. It's full steam ahead. Are you convicted, or are you just like, oh, because if you're going to get stuck. You're enjoying yourself. So am I. Conviction. Let me throw some scriptures in here quickly. Matthew 9, verses 16 to 17. Matthew 9, 16 to 17. I'm reading from the NLT, so it might be different to some of you. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new clothes? For a new patch would shrink and rip away from the old clothes, leaving a bigger tear than before. Now, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins will burst from the pressure, spilling wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so both are preserved. And this is a metaphor that Jesus used to say, yes, there were great old things, but there's something better now. It's me, the new covenant, I want to make something new. It's not about the old anymore. And we mustn't get this wrong. Jesus didn't abolish the old. He fulfilled the old. And so what he took that was old, he made it even better in the new. And some of us are old wineskins. And we refuse to become new wineskins. Or we old cloth and we refuse to become new cloth. You're going to rut yourself out. You're going to become spiritually insane. You're going to blame everyone else around you. And you're going to lose your love for Jesus. Conviction changes that. I've given my whole adult life to Jesus and his church. Not because this is the best job in the world. Well, it is a good job. It is a great job. I don't do it for the people. I do it for him because I'm convicted that if he didn't save me, I'd probably be dead by now. I'm convicted that his death on the cross and his blood that poured for me and his salvation that he's given me is worth more than anything else on earth. And I love things on earth. I love my wife. I love my kids. But that for me, you get what I'm saying? Like, are you convicted or not? I can't make you convicted. Only God can make you convicted. And I'm seeing a lot. I've been in ministry a long time. I see less and less conviction in people. Please, Holy Spirit, make us convicted that you are awesome. He wants to do a new thing in you. I'm also convicted about this. That we got to stop looking back. And we got to start looking forward. Well, that's sideways, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it was just... Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19 says this. But forget all that and is nothing compared to what is going... But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun it. This is thousands and thousands of years ago that this was prophesied. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway in the wilderness, and I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. And what we do that ruts ourselves out sometimes and we become spiritually insane is this. We keep on looking back. We keep on looking at the people that hurt us or that guy that preached weird or that thing that happened then. And you know what? When we got hold of the past, how can we take hold of the future? Our hands are already holding on to something. Our hearts are already holding on to something. Does it make sense? So like if I've got my glasses in my hand, how can I take something else? Does it make sense? And so for many of us, we're holding on to the hurts. We're holding on to the abuse. We're holding on to the word said. We're holding on to whatever those things. And those things are probably really bad. And they shouldn't have happened to you. But if you keep on holding on to that, all you're going to have is the old. Am I shouting? Sorry, I'm getting quite excited. Sorry, I'm just excited. I'll try to tone it down a little bit. But like, what God wants to do tonight is he wants us to let go of those things. And he wants us to take hold of something new. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says the same thing, just in the New Testament. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receiving the heavenly prize from which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. So we see in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's something of, if you don't want to be rutted out and become spiritually insane, you've got to let go of the old things and you've got to take hold of the new things that God wants to do. Does it make sense? But we've got to be convicted about doing that. Conviction. How's it, bro? Lucky to see you, man. Conviction. That God wants to do something new in you. Every single day. Every single moment of the day. The one cool thing about God is he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? You know the scriptures? So he never changes. But our journey with him and getting to him changes. We have to change to become like him. We have to change to get to him. We have to lay down ourselves so that he can be more. We need to do stuff on earth and in our hearts and in our minds to get to the God that never changes. And if you're doing the same thing that you did 20 years ago, or whatever it is, or 5 years ago, I think you've missed the book. Like, my theology has grown over the years. Like, I thought I knew stuff when I was in my mid-20s, and I look back and go, man, when I preached, I was preaching heresy. I didn't even know it. Like, how the heck did I even believe that? Our theology should change. Our love should change. Our understanding of the world should change. The way we see the Bible should change. The way we worship should change. The way we love should change. Everything should change because God is progressively, it's called sanctification. There's actually a theological word for it. We're becoming more like him daily, hourly, minute by minute. Conviction. Second thing, calling. Now, when I say calling, a lot of you will go to like, well, maybe I'm called to be a preacher. I want to be, or called to be on the stage, or I'm called to be an evangelist, or I'm called to be, I don't know what you're called to be. That's not necessarily what I wanted to say tonight about calling. Those are part of the calling. Those are things you can do in the calling. But every single one of us here, whether you're young or old, or think you're cool or not cool, or think you're worthy or not worthy, you're called to one most amazing calling. And that is to follow God the Father, to become like Jesus' son through the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is every single Christian's calling on earth. Whether you preach, whether you evangelize, whether you sing, whether you say hello to the people in the door coming, that's irrelevant. We are all called to follow God, become like Christ, and be filled with the Holy Spirit and bear fruit. Thank you. That was the Bible, by the way. It's like those scriptures in Galatians. I stole them, put them into it. No, just kidding. So our conviction should lead to the calling that, Jesus, I'm here for you. God, this is not my church, it's your church. These are not my people, they're your people. This life that you've given me is not my life, it's your life. The talents and the gifts that you've given me are not mine, they're for your glory. How cool is that? That every single one of us have that amazing calling to love the unlovable. To give is better to receive. To become patient and kind and loving and to humble oneself before the presence of the Lord. Every one of us is called to read the Bible and understand it, to become more like Christ. How cool is that? Every one of us is called to fall passionately in love with Jesus over and over and over every single day. That's our calling, guys. That's what makes the difference between, if you think preaching is fun, it's not actually that fun. Because I'm guaranteed to have some hate mail after this. See, the tricky thing about God is this, John 3 verses 8. The wind blows wherever it wants. Jesus is speaking again. So I can't see that far. Oh, maybe I can. Let me try. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how the people are born of the Spirit. And now the story goes like this. Nicodemus was a religious man. And he was trying to understand the spiritual things. And I want to make this point very clear. God is not calling us to a religion. He's calling us to a relationship. It's a very big difference. And Nicodemus was falling to religion. He was trying to tick boxes. He was trying to do things to gain God's love and all those things. He tried to do things for salvation. And Jesus said, listen, the tricky thing about living for God is this, that the Spirit goes wherever he wants to do. He does whatever he wants to do. The fact that he uses a guy like me to preach his word is ridiculous to me. I should not be doing what I do. But somehow he's caught. I don't know. The Spirit just does what he wants to go. He goes where he wants to go. He uses whoever he wants to use. And so when it comes to our calling and our conviction, we need to be very attuned to God. What are you actually doing? And Ryan actually did an amazing job this evening of following the Spirit and trying to find what he's saying and trying to find what he's doing and what words need to be used and what words don't. That's really tricky. But by God's leading, got us to this point. How cool is that? And so if we kind of keep on holding on to the old, when the Spirit goes this way, we're going to miss it because we're trying to go. And I said to the elders beforehand, said, if God highlights something, I'll stop there. We won't have to preach the whole preach. If you guys are feeling like, guys, tell me, like, if I get to a point or somewhere in the meeting we get to a point where God is there, we're not going to move from there. Because otherwise it just becomes a bread show and God is left out and we miss our calling. Wonderful. Let's keep on going. We've got 13 minutes left, so we can do it. Only 13 minutes left for those who are freaking out. It's almost over. Exodus 33, verses 15 and 16. I love this scripture. It's one of my favorites. When it comes to our calling, this should be in our hearts every moment. I actually say this a lot to myself when I wake up in the morning. Then Moses said, so they had just done the golden calf thing, and it was a bit of a problem, and God actually, it's such a hectic story. They called the golden calf Yahweh. So they actually didn't believe that they were worshiping a golden calf. They were believing that they were worshiping Yahweh, which is wild in itself. They didn't think they were adulterers in that moment, or adulterers. And then God actually says, if you go read there very carefully, he wants to take his Spirit away from them and give them an angel instead to lead them through the desert. It's quite wild. So God's going, I don't want to have anything to do with you guys. That's the context of the scripture. And Moses says, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. Oh. Go to the next scripture, just like, well, is that it? Oh, there we go. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on me and your people if you don't go with us. For your presence amongst us sets your people and me apart from all the other peoples on earth. When it comes to our calling, guys and girls, and ladies and gentlemen, and young and old, we are called to carry the presence of the living God wherever we go. And so many of us wake up every morning because we're in a rut and we do our thing without the presence of God in our lives, and then we want to know why our lives suck. That got a bit hectic. Hey, sorry. That was like supposed to be an exciting moment. But think about it. God, I don't want to do anything without your presence. I don't want an angel. I don't want a preacher. I don't want to, whatever you want to substitute God for. I don't want any of that. All I want is your presence. Because you've called me under conviction that you want to do something new in me today. I'm having heart palpitations. That's probably not good, eh? Please, God. So God wants to revive us from spiritual insanity, I believe, tonight. And this might not be relevant for all of us, but it's probably relevant for some of us. And there's some amazing scriptures in the Psalms and in Isaiah. So start getting your hearts ready, because we need courage for this. It takes courage to lead like Ryan led tonight. It takes courage for those who have words to bring them, because they might be used or they might not be used. It takes courage to give your heart to God. It gives courage to say, God, use me. It takes courage to say, I want your presence to go with me. It takes courage to make ourselves nothing so that he can be everything. Courage isn't the absence of fear. I am fearful every time I prep a preach. I'm fearful every time I meet with somebody. Because if I'm there for me, I'm going to mess someone's life up. And I'm going to be held accountable one day. If I teach heresy, I'm going to be judged more harshly than you guys listening to me. I don't want that for my life. And so courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing it anyway because God has called us to do it. Does it make sense? Like, I'm afraid all the time. I'm working on that for this year coming. It's like, even though I am afraid, God, you have called me. You've given me a conviction. You've given me a calling. And now give me the courage to be able to follow through. And then we're going to get ourselves out. That's counter-locking. Calling, conviction, calling, courage, and we're out. God, I didn't even put that in my notes. That was quite cool, actually. Write that down, somebody. Ryan used Gideon when he started this meeting. Do you know that Gideon, the army that he was fighting was 135,000 soldiers that they were going through. They started with 35,000. So they're still quite outnumbered by 100,000 or so. So the way you win a war is you have more people than the other team and you smash them with artillery and guns and explosions. That's how you normally win a war, right? You overwhelm them and you just let rip and you just eradicate everybody. So Gideon comes and he's like, God's like, we're going to win this war, but not with 35,000 people. Let's just test some guys. If they go to the river and they drink in a certain way, let's just get rid of them. And if they drink like a dog, let's keep them. And eventually there's 300 against 135,000 people. Now, just put yourself in the 300's perspective. I would have been counter-locking hard. Think about it. Think about you there, and you're going, how the heck are we just going to get slaughtered? If you were anything about it, I would have been panicking. But you know the cool thing about courage is this, that Gideon didn't win the battle with the 300 guys, because what happened was they just split up into hundreds, and they just kind of went into three areas, and they made a noise. They banged some pots around. It's not really the way you win a war. They made some noises on some instruments. Who won the battle for them? Huh. See, the key to courage is God's got to win the battle for us. We're always going to be outnumbered. Our flesh is always going to want more than the spirit. Always. We're not that cool, guys. We aren't. But God. Someone laughed there. Thank you for laughing. That was a funny, in my head it was funny too. So thank you. I appreciate it. See, courage is that. It's like, God, I can't do this. Only you can do this. So let's start landing. The psalmist writes in Psalm 85, 6, and make this the cry of our hearts, guys. Won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? God, revive us again. God, only you can do it, God. Can that be the cry of our hearts? God, revive us again. And I don't think we can. We always need to be revived. We can always be more of God. Isaiah 57, verses 15. And I love this scripture. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity. The holy ones say this. I live in the high and holy place with these whose spirits are contrite and are humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those who have repented hearts. Oh, it's such a bit. Let me read that again because I didn't read that. That's so good. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit for the humble and revive the courage of those repentant hearts. And so before we pray and land, because I have 4 minutes and 32 seconds left. You can hear this message in a few ways. The one way where you could go is like, oh, that guy's just on drugs. It means nothing for me. You just dismiss it. The other response could be, man, I am such a bad person. And you start wobbling even worse than you are wobbling now. And you miss the whole point of the preach. This preach is not to bring condemnation on you at all. Actually, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. This is a preach to go, hey, man, there's more for you. And so if you're feeling condemned right now, that is not necessarily the Spirit of God. It's probably your own insecurities or something like that. Does it make sense? It's like some will dismiss it. Some will take it so strongly that you'll miss the point and then get into a rut again. The heart that God is looking for is like, man, yeah, and I call it failing forward. We all fail all the time, and I think we have to, because by making mistakes, we actually learn. That's the best way to learn, by making mistakes. And if we're making mistakes, it actually means that we're doing stuff, if you think about it. If you don't do anything, you're never going to make a mistake. If you never make a mistake, you're never going to learn. So I call this thing fail forward. Like, don't become spiritually insane, but fail forward. Try something. And like, as we ask God to do stuff, like even for me, to make a good habit stick, do something small that you've already been doing, but just maybe differently. So, for example, I went through the whole Bible 3 times back to back last year. So I went from Genesis to Revelation 3 times last year. This year, I'm taking it easy. I'm studying one Old Testament script book, and I'm going to just deep study. I've already done Haggai. I'm in the book of Acts now. I'm going to do a deep study on Acts, and then I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. So I'm doing the same thing. Did I just use power? Oh, back. I'm doing the same thing. I'm just doing something different. Another thing that I'm trying to do for myself, because I'm trying to live this out, is I'm trying to practice a spiritual discipline that I've never really done before this year, which is petrifying me. It's making me really, really nervous. And so when it comes to not being spiritually insane, is I'm not saying don't do anything. I'm not saying do everything so much that you're going to floor yourself anyway. Take what you're already doing and say, God, what new thing do you want to do in me? How does it look like? And help me do it. Does it make sense? Don't, like, if you haven't ever read the Bible, don't go, I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. You're not going to do it. Maybe go to yourself and say, hey, maybe go to the book of James, for instance. It's a really short book. It's very practical. It'll help you get closer with the Lord. Maybe do that. Apply that to your life. And then when the bug hits, okay, now I'm going to try to get something bigger in. Maybe in Isaiah, because that's all over the place and like hard to understand, or the book of Revelation. So to create these new things, it's just do little things well that are a little bit different to what you, and I'm telling you now, to bring you life. 100%. So 1 minute left. I want to land now. Because I'm not even making eye contact with her. Because she's probably going, you're circling, just land. Love you, babes. For those who want to, I want us to pray together. But I don't want to just pray, I want to pray a scripture together. And a few years back in the day, there was a guy named Jabez, the book of Jabez, like the prayer of Jabez came and was really... it just blew up and everyone's forgotten about Jabez. But I remembered about Jabez this week. And he prays this prayer that just fits in so well with not being spiritually insane and not being rutted out. It's like this new thing. And God granted this prayer to him. And it goes like this in 1 Chronicles 4 verses 10. And if you can just leave it up, that'll be amazing. Because I'd love us to pray this together if we want to. It says this, and he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Oh God. Or that you would bless me and expand. I've cut out some stuff. Hold on. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all I do. Keep me from trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. So what Jabez did was this. He asked for God's favor. He asked God to grow his life, his land, and his influence. Something new. He prayed that God's hand would be on him and protect him and keep him from pain. It's a beautiful prayer. So, if you feel like you want something new, and you don't want to go spiritually insane in 2026, and you want to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God, can you just stand with me as we pray this scripture over our own lives and trust for him to do the same. If you don't want it, please don't stand. You'll be doing yourself an injustice. So where you stand, just, this is where you have to do between you and the Lord. So asking for favor, seeking growth in your life or your land or your influence, asking him that his hand of protection will be upon you, that you'll be kept from evil and pain. So as you just stand there, open your hearts to him and just pray that prayer. You can read it aloud if you want. You can do it in your heart. It's really up to you. But it's just that moment of just us and the Lord, asking him for new things. Being revived again by his Spirit. And as you're praying, I'm going to pray in tongues. It's not a tongue for the congregation. I want to make that very clear. I'm just going to be praying in my own tongue. Just as you guys are just spending a few moments with the Lord. Father, as your people, your sons and your daughters are just calling out to you, Lord, would you just start a new thing in us tonight? Will you give a renewed conviction, a renewed calling, and courage to live this thing out well in 2026? Lord, that you, as they call upon you, God, that you will have favor on us. That you will enlarge what you've given us for your glory. That your hand will be upon us, Lord. That your favor will be upon us, Lord. That wherever we go, your presence will be with us. And know that you'll keep us from temptation, keep us from evil, keep us from harm. You'll help our hearts and minds stay strong to not waver from your word, from your presence, and from your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Do your work amongst us. Soften our hearts, God, if we need. Fill us again. Revive us. Reawaken the passions. Just going to wait a little bit, just we don't want to rush. Just feeling two things quickly as we're praying and just asking the Lord to do something new. First is this, I'm just sensing so strongly, and I believe it is the Lord, so I'm going to just throw it out and just see if it is Him. I've got a feeling like there's some of us here tonight that you are really just backslidden, really backslidden. I'm not talking about a little backslidden, you're really backslidden. And you're just going, man, I don't know, Brett, I don't know how this is going to work. And I probably don't know either, but God knows. And you feel far from Him and you feel dead to Him and you feel like it's not even worth it. I really just feel like there's grace for you tonight, that God is going to do something supernatural. I do believe that. So I don't know if that word's for anybody. Like, is there anyone that's feeling like that? I know it's a little bit of an awkward thing, but we talk about awkwardness in the beginning. Like, I really feel like you need to come to the front and we're going to get a bunch of guys to pray or a bunch of girls to pray over you and really just trust that God will do something new in you. I don't know if there's anyone like that here. If you want to come to the front, if I can't see hands, but if you are that, just this is not an embarrassing moment. This is a moment for new life. Some new awesomeness to happen in your life through the Lord. Is there anyone that you're just feeling like that? I'm just so backslidden. And it's the courage to come out. Anybody?
So on the back of what Brett just said, I kept on seeing this piece of bread that's in front. And imagine the way that we worship. We crowded together. There's like, imagine there's no room for anybody to get there, but if you are hungry for the living bread of God, if you are truly hungry, you would push through the crowds to get a piece of this bread that's available for you today. So I, with bread, with the word that he said, I really feel God is saying, come, my grace is enough. I can give you living bread that would satisfy your soul.
Amazing. So, I want to labor a little bit because it's like a big moment. Like, is there anyone like that? Anyone that's wonderful? Come, young lady, come, come. Yeah, courage. Come, stand. Maybe babes. Babes, can you maybe stand with her? Anyone else? Anyone else? You've started something. Anyone else? Amazing. Some ladies, if you can. I do believe that there's a gentleman here too. Like, your heart's got heart, and you know what to say, you know how to act, you know how to dress, but you know, we want to fight for you tonight, man. There'll be conviction, there'll be courage. I'm going to fight for you a little bit. Come on, young man, that's amazing. Come on. Hey, but if you know him, just come grab him. Anyone else? I don't want to. Anyone else? It's not as bad, man. This is amazing. This is God doing stuff. And the reason why I'm calling to the front is faith takes courage and it takes action always. If you look at the whole Bible, it's always like that. It's always faith and action. Anyone else? I don't want to rush this thing. Today is a fresh start. Today is like God is going to jumpstart again something of His Spirit in your life. Anyone else? You want to? Wonderful young lady. Anyone else? So, just another word that came through. Like, you might be thinking, what I've done is so bad, God can't take me back. That's not true. Christ died for you. Nothing is off the table. That's how cool He is. And so, and then the second one I was thinking is, there might be someone here that you've never, ever before bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I want to follow You. I want to serve You. I want to give my life to You. I want You to be the savior of my heart. I want You to overtake my mind. I want to give my life to You. That's salvation. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Christ, salvation comes. So I want to throw that out to you as well. If you've never done that before, please don't leave this place without doing that. You're welcome to come to the front. We'll pray for you. If you want to do it where you are, if you don't know how to do it, come chat to me. We'll get a bunch of guys or girls around you and we'll just help you do that, okay? So can we just, can you guys start praying and just trusting, and for the ladies too, just that God, well done, first of all, that God will start doing something new, and from a backslidden state, He will do something awesome. Please, Holy Spirit, amazing King, thank You for these hearts. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Just a few more moments, guys.